Does that remind you of church sometimes? We come in with one purpose. We're all going to be at the table of the Lord. Lord, for what we're about to receive. And then we start seeing somebody that we don't get along with over there, and somebody that offended us over there. And I'm not going downstairs when they're going downstairs. And I'm not singing if they're singing. And so we all get going on our own agenda, forget all about dinner at the Lord's table. Well, it struck me this week, and I thought, oh. Just we see things differently, each of us. And it's our own stuff. It's not, if we were seeing things the way God wanted to see us, I think there would be more unity in it, because it's His purpose and His goal. But we get so wrapped up in our own stuff that we miss it. And so that's my segue into the armor of God. David, who's at the back there, what a good-looking guy. He preached a dynamite sermon this morning. One of those sermons that you think, it was at the 9 o'clock service. Pastor Sam was encouraging you to watch it or listen to it. It's worth catching. It's one of those ones where you don't want to preach after it because it was so good. So I just want to show his today, and I won't take a paycheck this week. Okay. The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. What's that all about? Am I close enough there? We're going through the Armor of God series, and all that God has provided for us is available to us. And you know, the word says, put on this armor. And we get distracted a little bit, I think, by the metaphor of the armor, thinking that you know, it's for specific purposes, and it could have that. The Word of God is multi-layered, and it's so amazing, but I think it's about the attributes or the things of Jesus more than it is about a breastplate or shoes or those kind of things. It's, you know, a good metaphor, but it's more about what's been provided for us and how it works with us. And so I want to look at that just a little bit today. I want to read, if I can, Ephesians 6, 7, is it verse 7? Can't see. Can you put Ephesians 6, 7 to 10 up? Connor, thank you. I'll read it from up there instead. Blip, 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 blip. I didn't ask him to do it ahead of time, so it's not his bad, it's mine. Okay, therefore, rendering service with a God... with goodwill, as to the Lord, as to the Lord, and not to man. Okay, where are we? Okay, 8. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Masters, I started way too early. I wanted to. Maybe it's a yeah. Just keep going. Give me another verse or two. It's with the armor stuff. There we are. That's it. That's it. 10. That's where I wanted to end. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers. Sounds amazing, doesn't it? Over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, we can stop there. Thanks. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? I know I had lots of distractions, but I want to read it to you on another version. And it takes a different view to the same thing. Same Greek words that started it. This is out of the Message. So you'll have to listen to this one probably. And that about wraps it up. God is strong and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you. Well-made weapons of the best materials. And put them to use so that you will be able to stand up against everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life and death fight to the finish against the devil and his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon that God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out.
Wow.
Whew. That hit the point to me very well. It's about being sober-minded because the warfare is real. Satan is called the accuser of the saints, right? And we have a picture of him accusing us in the courts. But his primary theater of operation is our minds. He accuses us to ourselves and accuses us to our brothers and sisters. And we need to recognize that there is warfare in our thoughts. Just because you think it doesn't mean it's true. Right? This may be shocking revelation to you. It's right up there with everything on the internet is right. But everything you think is not necessarily true. Just because you had a thought doesn't mean that that's it. That's the end. It could be half-truths. It could be misconstrued. It could be all sorts of things. And that's where people that are thinking that Obama and Trump are two ends of the spectrum. Because those that think that Obama is the next thing to the Lord think that Trump is the Antichrist. And they're just men doing a job. And they will fail. And they need prayer. They need our help. They cannot do it on their own. They're subjected to the same warfare that we are, only on a higher level, I think. And so we want to demonize them or make them heroes. And they're neither. They're just people doing what they're called to do at this time in our history. Let's get rid of the hyperbole and recognize what the word says. Like, pray for them. Help them. You can actually help your leaders by praying for them and not criticizing them. Breastplate. Early in my Christian walk, I read that unless your righteousness... And we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness here. So, unless your righteousness is greater than that of the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I thought, oh no, what am I going to do? I can never achieve what they come from generations of God-fearing people. I'm a first-generation God-fearer. You know, they have this stuff bred into them, and they keep the law. That's what I was thinking. And so later on, I thought, okay, well, you know, they were too religious, so maybe I'll get in. But it's the deal is the picture that Jesus is making there is that any righteousness of man, which is what the Pharisees were the pinnacle of, they're the pinnacle of man-made righteousness. Their works were going to get them what they needed. You'll never make it there on your own works. It has to be the righteousness of Christ. That's the only way we get in. And I'll show you that in a minute. You know, many of us have heard this stuff before, but righteousness is being made right before God. Faithfulness. David, you entitled your sermon. It was a sermon in a sentence. What did you call your sermon? Vulnerable to God, protected from the enemy. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
So, righteousness allows us to live that way. What's that? It's crooked? Yeah, it's breaking. I need somebody to fix my altar. Can somebody alter my altar, please? Before it falters. And oh, sorry. Stop it. My mind just goes off there, you know. It's your fault. It's the woman you gave me. Didn't work for Adam, won't work for me. Second Corinthians 5:21 says that Jesus became our sin that we might become his righteousness. Now, how on earth does that happen? How many sins did Jesus have to commit to become our sin? Not one. Not one. And the divine rule of substitution says that the same rule applies on the other side of the statement. So if he didn't have to sin once, then I don't have to do one righteous act to become the righteousness of God, because it's all been done for me.
That's right.
I become the substitute for Christ. And so the idea of putting on the armor, putting on the breastplate, is what God sees is Jesus, his righteousness, and not any of mine. Not all of those good things that I did that I thought would get me into heaven. All of those wonderful things that I pursued that I thought, oh, finally I'm going to get there. Or the stuff that I didn't do and I knew I shouldn't do. Or I knew I should have done. Sorry. Not getting there. It has nothing to do with that. It's all about being hidden in him and just doing what he wants. Becky had a good word for us, a picture for us about compassion. The opposite, or the, maybe it's not an antonym, maybe, of compassion is pity. And if we have pity upon people, then, you know, we can leave them in where they are. If you have compassion on them, you don't leave them. You enable them to get out of what they're in.
That's right.
Help them in their situation. And it has God factor in it. And so when we, if we move with God, we will see a difference. So the idea is, just so you have a picture, a little teaching. Adam and Eve were righteous before God. They were made righteous. From their own choice, their free will, they sinned. And in that sin, all of mankind became sinners. Because the blood of our grandparents, or great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, Adam and Eve, flows through us all. We're all related. So in that, we are sinners. In that act of disobedience, we became sinners. We lost our righteousness. Our righteousness was lost in Eden. And so God gave us the law so that we would have something to measure ourselves against, to help us to recognize that we can't do it on our own. Because in James it says, if you break one, you've broken them all. Right? You break one law, you've broken every one. So if you wear underwear that has two different materials in it, rayon and polyester, you've broken the law. And if you broke that law, you've broken them all. Now, does that seem right? Oh, I should be able to wear any underwear. It's ridiculous, I know. It's meant to be. Because there are laws that you haven't even paid attention to. And if you're trying to, if you think that keeping the Sabbath or keeping festivals is going to keep you in good stead with God, you're wrong. Because somewhere you'll have broken the law, one law, and you will break them all. The only way you make it is in the righteousness of Christ. Romans 10:4. Maybe, can you put it up there? Is that? It's way easier to read those big letters. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, you read it.
Romans 10:4.
Yeah.
Okay, there. Go ahead. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes.
That's it. That's okay. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. He is the completion of the law because we become his righteousness for everyone who believes. You have kept every Sabbath if you are righteous in Christ, because Christ didn't miss one. You have kept every festival if you are in Christ, because Christ kept every one. If you have to keep it, then you are trying to follow the law, and you're trying to redo what Christ already did for you. You will never make it into heaven on that, because that is self-righteousness. Two kinds of righteousness in the Bible. Christ's righteousness and self-righteousness. You don't want to be caught with self-righteousness, because that will all burn before the throne. You'll be left with ashes. But if you have Christ's righteousness, which is yours, if you're in Christ, if you have his righteousness, we all know for the kingdom of God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Okay. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the kingdom is within you. You're in him, he is in you. The kingdom is within. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the King of your life, then you have become his righteousness. You cannot add to that. You have perfect righteousness. You can't add even a fraction to that. You're in. So if we keep looking to seek ye first, oh, I've got to look for the kingdom. You walk in the kingdom. I've got to seek first his righteousness. You are hidden in it right now. Just begin to understand what he has given you already. What we walk in every day. Because we cannot add to it. We just have to relax into it. And understand that, I am right before God. That's an amazing thing. Adam and Eve sinned and we all became sinners through them. So through one man, Adam, sin entered the world. Through one man, Jesus Christ, righteousness, greater than that sin, became ours. All of that sin is gone. It's no longer an issue. If your tire goes flat, it's not because God's mad at you. It's because there's no air left in your tire. This is higher physics, I know. You know, that's quantum mechanics. Jesus paid it all. He's already lived it. For you to live it again is wrong and useless. And worse than that, a waste of time. We have enough wastes of time in our lives. Pretty much our whole lives are based on self something. And you know, in an eternal process are a waste of time. And I'm not trying today to get you to change all of your habit patterns. I want you to see where you are. The significance of where you are. What has been paid already for you. You can't do anything that's going to make you more righteous than Jesus Christ. You're in his righteousness already. You are his righteousness. It's not like it's a thing. You are it. Jesus became our sin that we might become his righteousness. And that is so huge and so amazing. Through one man, sin entered. Through another man, it was dealt with completely. But let's look just where is it? Is it Matthew 5:20? Let me look here. I want the parable of the wedding. And just a minute, I got to get out of the message. So, yeah. What's Matthew 5:20 say? No? This is it. Let me ad lib for a minute and then I'll get back to it. Yeah. Matthew 22. Verses 1 to 14. Jesus tells a story, a parable about a wedding banquet. And the wedding banquet is a picture of the banquet that we'll have in eternity. But in the parable, it talks about the king has his servants invite all of the people that he'd arranged to be at the wedding, the ones that were invited to come. And none of them came. And he had all of this expense, all of the stuff, the trimmings for the wedding, and didn't want to waste it. So he said, go to the highways and byways, go to the streets, go find people and bring them. And as they were coming in, they were issued clothing. Wedding clothing, wedding garb, so that they didn't look like people from the street. You know, they looked like they were ready for a purpose. They didn't get a chance to do anything on their own. They were given these beautiful garments. And as they came in and they're welcomed with these beautiful garments on, somebody came in without a garment on, just wearing his own clothes. And they addressed him as friend. So maybe he had been invited before. But the king said he had to leave, because he wasn't dressed appropriately. The picture is these people, everyone that's dressed appropriately enjoys the wedding banquet, the feast that was prepared. Everybody that wasn't couldn't. So if you weren't wearing the right stuff, you had to be gone, because you had to accept what was there for you. The picture of the clothing is righteousness. The people that took the righteousness that was given to them could enjoy all of the festivities. Anyone that came of their own accord could not enjoy the festivities, but had to leave. Self-righteousness is coming of your own accord, something that you put together, something that you did. I'm wearing my clothes, I'm going in. God knows my heart. Be careful with that. I mean, seriously, that's a doctrine of demons that we have so willingly taken on. God knows my heart. Right? I've said that many times, so you don't have to look far for... for someone that knows what that's about. But don't you think that Adam and Eve would have tried to say that? Yeah. Well, God knows our hearts, so it's okay if we eat this. No, it's not. God's given us a way to live. God's given us what we need. And we need to take and receive what he's given us. He's given us the clothing of righteousness. We call it the armor of God. He's given us this clothing so that when God looks, he sees us. On the breastplate, they would have emblazoned a coat of arms later on, you know, after, you know. So it told who you were. As a matter of fact, let's go back to David. David is going to fight Goliath, because nobody else would fight him. And so Saul said, put on my armor. I got armor here. Now we always, how many times have you seen the picture of David putting on armor that's way too big for him? The Bible doesn't say it was way too big. The Bible says he rejected it because he hadn't had a time to test it. It said he walked in it, but had not had time to test it. Read the story. So the picture of it being too big for him was not right. The deal was way more important than that. Because at the time, if you were wearing the king's armor, you were the champion of the king. And that often happened in battles that way, so that the guy that was wearing the king's armor would kill 10 or 13 people in battle, and the king would get all the credit for that death. For that kill of the enemy. The king would get the credit. David was not going to get the credit to Saul. Because Saul would have been accredited with the kill of Goliath if he'd worn Saul's armor. It was important for God to have David walk out with nothing but the protection of God Almighty. And so who gets the glory then? God gets the glory, not Saul. And it's important that we understand that. If you're ever in a situation where you're going to get the glory, look out. Because it's a way that will be twisted in your heart and in your mind. The lies will come through that kind of stuff. The glory goes to Jesus. The glory goes to Jesus. That's why I say when I'm preaching up here, if you go away from here saying, wow, what a preacher. I've missed it. I've missed it somewhere. Because what you should be going out of here saying is, God gave me a word today that will change my life. Or isn't the word of God amazing? When you look at me, you should see Christ when I'm up here. Not me. Aside from stupid jokes, you know. You can blame me for that. It's about Him. And the more that we can rest in the understanding of His righteousness, He has given us His armor, God's armor, to wear. He says specifically it's His armor. We wear what He has provided us. He has given us righteous clothing so that we can enter that beautiful banquet one day. That we can enjoy that banquet one day and not be resting on our own laurels. I don't know how many times I've been in hospitals and people have said to me, no, I'm okay. I've done the best to live my life well. I did a pretty good job, I think, and so I'm pretty sure I'm going to heaven. Yeah. That's not what the Bible says. You live a good life, that's good. You got it all here. But unless you're hidden in Christ Himself, you will not go to heaven. Not my words, but His. And it's so sad. So whenever the enemy is whispering to you lies, he may be telling you the truth. Because usually what he says, every time he's quoted in the word, it's truth twisted. Truth applied just a little inappropriately. So usually when he says stuff to me, it has truth to it. About how bad I am, how nasty I am, how I have a decrepit heart, you know. Nowadays I just agree with them. Yeah, true. But I am hidden in Christ.
Right. Hallelujah.
So if you want to make me feel bad, that's okay. But I'm hidden in Christ, and that's where I'm getting in. Great. When you go before St. Peter at the gates, and he says, why should I let you in? If you say anything other than Jesus, you're wrong. It's just like Bible college. Jesus is the answer. Pretty cool. You'll get through. You can practice it. I am hidden in Jesus. Jesus is my answer. Jesus is my righteousness. Then you'll get in. But we got to change our thinking. Like so many of us live in this kind of a duality of I want to do good works, and many of the good works are self-righteously driven. Some of them are God, and that's good. You know, He usually only gives me one or two things to do in a day, all day long. I have one or two things that I need to accomplish. The rest is my choice. And I try to do good things. I try to fill it with good things, but they're not directed by Him. Will they burn when I go to heaven? Probably. I don't know. I just try and do the best I can. And so live in that. Live in that comfort of knowing that He is the reason you're going to get in. Not because you're following the law or you're doing good things to get there. not because you're working hard for Jesus. That's not going to get you there. It may make you feel good. It may make people impressed with you. But it isn't going to get you eternity. Jesus is eternity. You're hidden in Him. Stay hidden in Him. Can I take 5 more minutes? That was essentially my sermon, but there was something I noticed in the research, you know, and David brought it up in his sermon as well. The breastplate is, it would cover an area like over the back a little bit, and right down. Some say it came down, you know, as somewhere in here, and so it covers all of your important organs, of course. Your heart, which is very good. David did an awesome job on the heart this morning. I don't want to talk about that. But Jesus said, don't be anxious for anything. Don't worry. When we're anxious and when we worry, the stress goes to our shoulders and our bowels. It builds up there. We're moving in self-righteousness and holding it all. If we can understand that we are protected by the armor of Christ in those areas, that His faithfulness, He will see and do what He needs to do in every situation. If we trust in Him, those kids that we're worried about will turn out okay. That money that we're concerned about will show up somehow when we're in Him. But we want to take it on ourselves. And so we come out from the armor and say, I want to do this on my own, thank you very much. I want to fret for a while. I want to worry for a bit. I want to be anxious because I'm choosing to do this. It's your choice. God gives you that choice. But there are consequences to every one of those choices. Bowel problems, stress issues, heart issues, all of that stuff, lung issues even, all should be protected by the righteousness that you already have. You come out from the cover and you start to bear the consequences of your choices. And it's not necessary. If we can get how big He is, God Almighty is bigger than previously assumed. If we can get how good He is all the time and start to live in that understanding, the stressors dissipate. The tension on your internal organs is eased, and you can live the way you're supposed to actually live without all of that stuff. We assume that it's a normal part of life. David was telling us that he had an operation a year ago or so, or maybe a little more, and he was in great pain after it. And he assumed that it was normal. And finally he went back to the doc for a checkup and told the doc and said, no, you shouldn't be in pain like that. Let's fix it. And they did. We assume a lot more than we need to. We take on way more than we should. We don't have to live in the pain and suffering that we're living in many, many situations. The armor that God has provided us gives us a way to live without it. If we can learn to do that. Have I learned to do that? No. But I'm trying hard to get there. It's just relaxing in understanding and knowing who Jesus is. He's way bigger and way better than we thought before. It's amazing. So I want to ask the team to come up and play again. We get David doing double duty here. Worship leading and preaching and doing it all. And I'll come and pray. We'll pray together, but I want to get you to take off self-righteousness today. To metaphorically take off the clothing that we want to go to the banquet in. Leave your clothes on. Just a picture of taking that stuff on and putting on His righteousness. Putting on what He's provided for us. The beautiful clothing that'll give us an opportunity to be at the wedding banquet. To put on the breastplate of righteousness. And take on His faithfulness in that. His right standing in that. Because that's who we are now. That's who we really are. Whether the devil allows us to think that way or not, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. So we're going to pray that over you in a minute. Let's just worship. Stand with you.